Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello, you're listening to the Guitar Nerds Podcast. It's completely free and packed full of fun little tidbits about guitars. But if you do fancy another log on your proverbial fire, then head on over to patreon.com/guitar nerds for a thick slice of audio delight. Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Mark Packham.
Butter the toast, eat the toast, poop the toast.
Jay Cross.
Hi.
And Matthew Knight.
Hello there.
Yes, that's right. It's a full house once again. You know, I'm hoping that we're going to get this intro thing like down to a really fast professional routine. What I'm
Joe, we've been podcasting for 5 years.
if we haven't got it now, we definitely aren't going to get it anytime soon.
I do think it used to be. I'm sure it used to be more professional than this. I'm sure the starts used to be cleaner.
I think there was a good mid period where we cared.
Yeah.
And now we're back.
Yeah,
I still care. I just the thing that I care about is how annoyed Joe gets when I really slow it down and sound miserable.
I just really want. My dream is like a clean, fast-paced intro sequence so that new listeners will turn on this podcast and be like, oh yeah, this is good. Information-filled, professional.
I just gave them information. Butter the toast, eat the toast, poop the toast.
That's ridiculous. Why? I can't believe you used the word poop.
I'll do you a deal. If you are less enthusiastic... Uh-huh. I'll be more enthusiastic, and maybe we can find a happy midpoint.
Should we try again?
It's because he doesn't have a real job. That's what
that
it is.
That is what it is. This is I tell you something, and I
have a real job.
I tell you something. Since Joe has gone self-employed and is no longer in the office, the number of text messages that we are receiving in the Guitar Nerds group chat has gone up by maybe 500%.
Yeah, okay.
Because Joe is just like sat, especially as Emma is working away at the moment.
Yeah, she's in LA.
So you're just sat there by yourself in this hole that you haven't painted yet, or maybe you have painted it, and that's why you're sending so many text messages.
if she never came back, I wouldn't blame her.
Well, I mean,
who could?
But she's gonna come back and find Joe just with I got this lead paint. Yeah, they're selling it cheap. But the builder's merchants down the road just like poison your house.
Yes, almost definitely. The other day, actually, I was messaging you guys and no one got back to me. And then you started talking about something else without even answering my questions.
It was probably an awful question.
There we roll.
Oh, God. It was so annoying.
Is it okay if I post this?
I was asking if I should get insurance on the thing I was posting.
£15, is it okay if I post it? It's like, mate, just get it done. Like, listen, you're doing this job so that we don't have to think about it.
I am counting the pennies because now it matters.
That's true.
You're counting
the pennies, that's because that's all we've got left. You spunk the rest.
Yes. Well, anyway, this week on the Guitar Nerds podcast, we've got some news. There's a limited amount of news, but we've also received a load of cool new stuff. So we should also talk about that. But first of all, Matt Knight, you finally, after an awful lot of waiting. I mean, really, Jay, I think you did, that's a little bit slow on your company's part. But Matt, you finally got your Shell Pink Charvel.
I did, after ordering it at Summer NAMM, which I suddenly realised when I got it, I was like, man, I ordered this a long time ago.
That's unbelievable. But is that how back-ordered they were, J. Cross?
Listen, I think they... listen, mate, this is a popular podcast, and we gave it Gear of the Year. I don't know what to tell you. They were way more popular than anybody could have possibly imagined. Yeah. And honestly, I think that's down to us.
Well, I think so, because we made it. Well, they also made it in the best colour possible, and because of our hard work telling people how good pink guitars are, the amount of other YouTube channels I've noticed going, oh, I've got this great pink guitar, and oh, I'm going to order this guitar in pink. I'm like,
yeah, I know.
Trendsetters, mate.
People stealing our aesthetic. Can we like copyright pink?
Maybe. I think we should.
You can. There was an artist that copyrighted the blackest black. Then someone else made the pink. That was
like a new material that was used to make
know,
that colour.
You can't copyright material. That's all
right,
I'm saying.
Okay. Copy-
well, don't clamp down on art. Yeah.
I'm actually I'm a big fan of the olive drab version of the.
Yeah, it looks good as well. I'm into it.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
I saw the grey one in person the other day as well, and that I must admit, I think the only one, the grey one, would look also good with cream pickups and hardware. But the pink one is by far the best one.
The pink one just looks so good.
Yeah, and I got it out of the box, and it was in tune, and it played absolutely perfectly. A little bit slinky because it had nines on it.
I thought you said stinky.
Stinky.
A little bit stinky.
Well, that too.
Came out of the box a bit smelly, you know.
Yeah, but yeah, it played absolutely perfectly. Set it up with tens. Although, I was away for about 4 or 5 days, and I set it up the night before, and I was like, "Oh, it plays great." But when I strum an E, it's always out of tune. The G is always out of tune. I spent about an hour going, "Can't get the intonation. What is wrong with the intonation?" Just on that one string, and I was like, oh, "I'll just, you know, whatever. I'm going away for a few days. I'll leave it." Came back, realised that I hadn't put the string underneath the string tree. And it was throwing the intonation out completely.
Matt, I know, it's just because I was. That is appalling. You shouldn't be admitting that on this podcast.
No, but I'm actually very pleased to admit that I actually managed to do, apart from that one thing, a really good setup on it. And it plays absolutely amazingly with tens. And it just sounds great. Every pickup combination. It just, I mean, Jay won't agree with this statement, but it's got all the best Strat sounds in it.
Neck and middle.
Which Jay knows there are none.
What, bridge?
Yeah, neck
single.
And middle, exactly.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, bridge just, single.
That's the only way to play a Strat.
No, it's got the two best ones, 2 and 4, which is neck and middle and
Wait,
middle and bridge.
Which way do you count?
What's one? Charvel count one as bridge, but I count one as neck.
Five.
But they do it the other way around.
Oh yeah, I think it is. I think it is the other way around now. We had a discussion about this at work because we were getting it the wrong way around.
Oh, really? So what is the pickup configuration on the Charvel DK24? You get the Seymour Duncan Super Shred in the bridge, right?
Yeah, and the I think it's SSLs in the neck. Yeah. So you get neck and middle.
Yeah.
Middle and outside coil, middle and inside coil, full humbucker.
So what's the pickup in the middle? I mean, it doesn't matter. No one's really going to use it.
I think they're almost of the same line, some sort of SSL pickup.
Right.
But they just out of the box, you just don't need to do anything. It's got a great trem on it, never goes out of tune. It's got locking machine heads, no low tone control. So if you turn it all the way up, it clicks and then it's bypasses the capacitor completely. It's got a really wide sweep on the tone. Volume control super smooth. It was just perfect. I honestly can't believe how good that guitar is for the money. I know we talked about it a lot at Gear of the Year, but now I've actually got it, it's even better than I remember playing it at Summer NAMM.
Do you not find the Super Shred in the bridge a little bit... Is it not
no,
a little,
it's
a
such
little bit
a mis-
too much with the other... Because they're like Alnico...
No, it's such a misleading name.
Yeah, Super maybe it Shred. Is. It just sounds like it's going to be like a...
Too much.
An invader sort of style, like a super shred. It sounds like it's definitely not going to work with such traditional things in the neck and middle. And that's kind of how I always thought. I was like, if you think sort of the AZ or AZ is the main competition for the Charvel DK24, well, then the A...
Who makes that?
The the Ibanez AZ, which they had the
new company, are they?
I mean,
they had Seymour Duncan Hyperions, which are kind of, they're supposed to be a bit of everything, aren't they? They're supposed to be high output-y so that they drive really well and they're great for shred, but they're supposed to have sort of vintage sensibilities and all that depth and all those woody tones. Whereas Charvel didn't go for that. Rather than having this sort of pickup that does everything, Charvel went for shreddy pickup in the bridge, old school pickup in the neck, and did it sort of that way round.
It's really well balanced. It really does just sound like every, especially like the in between stratty sounds are like a strat on steroids. So it's like way more than a vintage strat, but not so much that it's just making everything really distorted. And through a clean edit, like it's super clean through, you know, something with high headroom. But if you stick a load of drive with it, it really, you know, it gives you like that kind of like vintage, kind of like beefy rock sound.
Yeah.
And but it's not over the top in any way. And actually, it probably covers more bass. What's nice, if you have that and the James Valentine, they both cover different basses, but they don't like cross over at all.
I always felt like, and I never had the two side by side, but I always felt like they had really similar neck profiles. And they both got that sort of hand rubbed satin feel, but the...
There's something to the neck on the Music Man which is slightly smoother, and I think it's the gun oil, the gun stock oil that they put on the neck on the Music Man. But the Charvel, I mean, for the money, if you had to pick one or the other,
it would be really tough.
And actually, I know we talked about a lot about the Sterling Valentine.
Yeah.
I honestly think this is a better guitar.
Oh, yeah, happily.
The Sterling Valentine. But I think if you put this against Valentine, I think you both are amazing guitars. It would be really difficult to choose between. I mean, that's totally like destroyed the need for having any other guitar.
They're about the same money, aren't they? They're about £800 to £900 each.
Yeah. What, the Sterling Valentine?
Yeah, yeah. Or they're a bit
Sterling
less.
Sterling Valentine's
like
a little less, like seven. Yeah. Did you know that AZs have come down in price since the Charvel DK24
really?
Has been so popular?
Interesting.
Because do you remember when they came out? They were like, I think they were like, the affordable ones were like, maybe like £1,300-1,400 maybe it was more like £1,200-1,300 actually, and then you had the top ends, the prestige AZs, and they were, you know, they were getting on for the £2,000 mark. And in the case of the signature models, the Tom Quayle and the other fellow's signature model, they were over the £2,000 mark. But now those AZs are coming in at like £900,
£899
to sort of be competing with the DK24.
I think the great thing about these guitars is if you wanted like a Guthrie Govan signature, but you weren't going to spend like £3,000,
and
you wanted
also,
that Tom Quayle sort of vibe or anything like that,
but you had some taste in looks, you could go for this instead.
I don't know why everyone went for brown guitars. It
looks like both of those, the Quayle and the other fellow, what's his name? We just said it.
Guthrie Govan.
Both those guitars just look like weird 70s furniture.
Yeah, I'm just looking now at the AZ242BC, which is the deep espresso burst, two humbucker AZ model. That looks way better than like a Guthrie Govan.
They look fantastic. I really do like the AZs. I really like the Hyperion pickups. The thing that I prefer over the Charvel DK24 is the neck profile. I think the DK24, don't get me wrong, is awesome and super comfy, but the fact that the AZ is really oversized, I really like.
The only thing I don't like on the Ibanez is the scooped neck pocket, which goes well into the back of the guitar. I much prefer the way they do that on the Charvel.
I actually prefer the headstock on the Charvel.
Yeah.
One thing I forgot on the Charvel is how the jack socket is fitted into the back.
So
have a carve out into the back.
Yeah, which is not uncommon on a lot of players' guitars. It sort of started appearing more. I think the first time I saw it was on the Ibanez Tosin Abasi.
It seems
everyone loops their cable over, why not make it so you're not bending your cable
to
do that? It seems like a sort of sensible change.
But if you read the specs on the Charvel website, and I think you went to like a smaller builder and said, can I have all those specs? It would be way more money.
Yeah, definitely.
And I just think like the specs you look at, you're just like, that is an outrageous guitar for the money.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, I'm super impressed. It's the only guitar I've played for since I got it, basically. I haven't picked up anything else. It's just perfect. Yeah. And I'm actually, again, I'm super pleased that I managed to set it up and not ruin it.
Congratulations.
So I've had a couple people email me actually from podcast being like, oh, I'm looking at a guitar and I'm thinking about one of those Charvels. I'm like, yeah, it's just amazing.
Just get it.
Yeah, they are brilliant. Right price, right guitar. Anyway, I mean, we've talked about this loads on, you know, Gear of the Year as well, but it is an absolute cracker, unsurprisingly. Jay Cross, you've just got back from America and you went to see some super cool guitars as well.
I have, yeah. So after being home from NAMM for about 10 days, yeah, I decided I can't do it. I miss it too much. I miss the stars and the stripes,
yeah,
too much. I've got to go back.
Yeah.
So me and my girlfriend actually went back to her home for a family funeral. So actually the reason we were there wasn't particularly fun, but whilst I was there, I did get to do something that I've been trying to do for the last, well, 3 or 4 years, however long I've been going over there. But I've never managed to do, and that's go to see DePinto Guitars,
yeah,
who are based out of Philadelphia, like central Philadelphia. And I popped in and was just having a little look around the shop and I asked if I could take a couple of photos, and they were like, yeah, yeah, course. They said, you know, if you want to get anything down, let us know. And obviously, you know, we know we've got the Guitar Nerd style guitars on the floor, angled up. And I said, oh, would it be all right if I grab a couple of these down? And I didn't want it to sound all smarmy and everything, because I bet they get loads of people going in there being like, oh, actually, I run a blog or whatever. But I did say I do an Instagram account about guitars, and I was hoping I could just, and they were, and he said, oh yeah, sure, yeah, you know, and he went, oh, I'm gonna say, I'll get the boss. And after a couple of minutes, Chris DePinto came out, and he spent about an hour and a half just talking to me about guitars, and I was getting the guitars down and he was telling me the history of them. And I tell you what, if you live anywhere near Philadelphia, or if you're ever passing, I cannot recommend enough going in and having a look at the shop. So as well as selling DePinto guitars, they also sell, they do quite a lot of vintage stuff, and they had some new bits and pieces in there as well. But the thing that I thought was fascinating, and I will put the pictures up when I get a chance, is he still has a bunch of really early prototypes in there.
Wow.
So the models that are still kind of in the catalogue, I mean, I think everything now is basically made to order. He sells on Reverb, you know, other good...
There we go. Good platforms. Have we got all of the plugs in today?
We haven't said anything about Roland yet.
Yeah, okay. gotta make those bucks.
He says it does. Yeah, it does sell on Reverb, but I think basically everything's made to order. Right. So there wasn't a huge number of new guitars out on display, but there was all of these prototypes from like the early 90s, well, from the mid 90s, which is when he started building guitars. And yeah, basically he was telling me the history. And so the reason that he got into building guitars was he was left-handed, and well, continues to be left-handed, and he grew out of that. He's left-handed, and he couldn't get anything kind of weird. He was only sort of able to get Strats, Tellys, Les Pauls, etc., etc. Right. And he wanted weird stuff. So the first guitar that he ever built, and I'm really annoyed with myself that I can't remember the name. I was just seeing if there's a clue on this picture, and there isn't.
Well, we'll make sure these pictures go up in the group.
I cannot remember the name of this guitar, but I'm just going to send this over to Joe. The first guitar that he ever made is this left-handed kind of almost explorer shape, well, without the cutouts.
Those, it reminds me of those, do you remember those almost completely rectangular Dan Electros?
Yes.
I can't remember the name of that particular model. But.
So it's that kind of, it's that kind of shape, kind of an offset square rectangle shape, but it's a 10 string. And the reason that it's a 10 string is that it's five strings tuned in fifths and then doubled up. It's so you've got octaves there as well.
They're not
octaves. It's just two of each string.
Right.
They're not even. Yeah. It's not even like it's
so good. This is such a great idea.
And so instead of as well as the pickup selector, there's also, and this is kind of the thing with DePinto guitars, is all of the pickups have got on off switches.
And so that's proper retro, that.
Yeah, super, super retro. And what he showed me with this particular one is, and Joe, you can see this. He's got this weird kind of like little thing with a load of like mini buttons on there, which is a little basically sample pad that makes ray gun noises, which he wired into the guitar. So you can send the ray gun noises through to the amp.
That is, why doesn't that should be. That should be a universal standard.
It's so, so cool.
Isn't that similar to something? I know Mikey Demas was selling some guitars recently. Didn't he have a guitar that did something similar?
Yeah, he had one with the dub siren built in.
Oh, is that what it was? Really? Dub siren.
Can I say, I'm on the DePinto Reverb shop right now, and he does his own guitar strings, DePinto guitar strings. So on the electric guitar strings, you've got a picture of an electric guitar.
Uh-huh.
Bass guitar strings, got a picture of a bass.
Uh-huh.
Can you guess what is on the packet for the acoustic guitar strings?
No, I can't guess.
A fish?
Is it another electric guitar?
It's a dog.
Oh,
it's got a picture of a cute dog on the acoustic strings. Love it.
But yeah, basically, Chris was awesome. He was a really, really lovely bloke. And he spent ages with me, just took a load of time out of the middle of the day to talk to this completely British lunatic who'd walked in off the street. I explained that we do the podcast and asked if he'd want to come on at some point, said that it'd be a real honor to talk to him, and he said that he'd be well up for it.
Yeah,
so
as he was sort of pushing you out
yeah, absolutely.
Like, so, sure, mate, yeah, I'll definitely be on it.
Yeah. This is definitely my
just,
email
just
address.
Send me, fax me. I'll give
But no, it was really cool. And I posted about this in the group, and a couple of people were like, oh, I don't know anything about this brand. And
I saw those comments as well.
I only know about DePinto because we had my introduction to them was that we had a Galaxy 4, which I guess is probably their most popular guitar.
What's
at the moment.
Galaxy 4?
So the Galaxy 4 is kind of an offset surf guitar. So kind of
well,
a jazz
DePinto
master.
Are just surf guitars.
Sure, yeah. This is kind of a Jazzmaster Jaguar type shape with four like lipstick pickups. Or each have got on-off switches, come in really cool kind of 50s retro colours. And we had one of those come through the shop secondhand, and I thought, wow, this is absolutely amazing. Got to find out more. And that was my introduction to them. But, other models that I don't know if they still do, but, certainly they have done in the past, is like the Mac 4, which is a quality guitar. The Mac 4 is kind of a...
That's a Razor I have.
You should be using it more regularly. That's all I'm going to say about that. The Mac 4 is kind of like a Mosrite style guitar, so that again, that kind of like offset, like beer belly strat,
right.
I guess is how you'd look at that. And the Belvedere, which they've done as a guitar or a bass, and that's kind of a Les Paul type shape almost. Yeah. But the Galaxy is just an absolutely astonishing guitar. Really, I really love those guitars, and it's just a shame that there's just no real distribution of them in the UK.
Yeah.
So much of what they do is direct to customer, which is fantastic, but it just means that not much of it makes it over here.
What sort of money did DePinto's go for these days?
So he was talking about this, just the way that their business model has changed over the years. When they first started, so he started building guitars in 1994, I think is what he said. He started the same way that everyone starts, really, which is he built a guitar for himself and someone went, oh, that's cool. Can you make, where did you get that?
Classic.
Can you make me one? And then he, made one for a mate and then made one for another mate. And it's just started rolling out like that. But originally, for probably the first, I think maybe 15 years or so, it was just American built, and they were built in Philadelphia.
Right.
They were built, so their original and their original premises was in like the Old Town. And the thing that you need to bear in mind when I talk about the Old Town, the oldest part of Philadelphia is basically the oldest part of the USA.
Right.
You know, the Independence Hall, which is the big building down there, that's where the Constitution was signed. Like, it's on display in a building in Philadelphia. The original, like, 13 colonies who then, you know, seceded from the Union and decided to
someone's
create
been
a new
history lesson.
No, I actually
literally just been there.
Well, no, I mean, I did this tour like 4 or 5 years ago. But it's, I just find it fascinating that, like, that's where America, like, America began. It's mad, but
yeah. And then they had Fresh Prince.
Yeah, then that some other stuff happened,
nothing happened.
That movie with Tom Hanks.
Yes, yeah, that big. Was also
the
Philadelphia.
Cheese, the cheese.
There's been like what 6 Rocky movies.
No,
if you include
that's
Creed.
Not Philadelphia.
What are you talking about?
That's,
of course it is.
Is Philadelphia?
It?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's a Rocky statue.
It's actually 8 Rocky movies if you include Creed 1.
Is
and
it?
2.
Okay. Right. Well, there we go. Anyway, that all aside, the original building was like right in the center of the old town, and they've moved up the road. They're in the north part of the city now. But yeah, so he's gone through a different kind of bits of business. They were doing some models of business. They were doing some Korean built stuff, but they've kind of pulled back on that, and they seem to just be doing built to order stuff in America at the moment. So as for prices, I can't remember off the top of my head. I think they're about $3,000 for Mark.
Right.
I don't know if you've got
just a quite a conventional.
At the moment, there were none listed on his Reverb store.
Right.
So
okay.
I couldn't see any on the site either. But yeah, it looks like they're kind of built to order. That seems
yeah,
to be
I think
the thing.
Basically, it's
I'm
built
sure
to order.
They used to have distribution in the UK though.
So I did ask about this, and okay, this must be one of the Korean ones at £1,400. I'm not sure. I can't remember. Anyway, I did ask him about this because I wondered how that guitar ended up secondhand in GAC.
Yeah.
And what he said was there was a couple of shops that kind of said that they were going to distribute it, but really all they were doing was buying a few in and then selling them in their shop.
Right, okay.
So a few have leaked into the UK, but yeah, I don't think anything really has ever, you know, on a large scale. But at the same time, you know, he's making high-end American built guitars.
Well, yeah.
And it's basically just him. But yeah, it's really lovely bloke. Like fascinating to get the history from, you know, from the man himself.
Yeah.
And yeah, like I say, he said he'd be up for coming on the podcast at some point. So hopefully we can do that and you can hear this story again, but told by someone who isn't severely jet-lagged.
Mark Packham.
Hello.
You and me are going on a trip next week.
Oh, God.
Because you know what next week is?
It's my birthday, and I'm going to party like it's my birthday.
It is the guitar show.
Yes.
No one cares. Is that your birthday?
No,
of course it's not. Oh, thank goodness.
Isn't it your birthday in like a week?
No. No, ages until that.
Okay. June the 9th.
Third.
Close.
Be with you.
Yeah. Excellent, wonderful. Anyway, it is the guitar show, the aptly named guitar show. There is actually more than one guitar show in the UK, but this one got to the name first. So this is the guitar show, which takes place in Birmingham. And is it probably the biggest? It's probably the biggest in the UK. I mean, that's still very small in comparison.
I think the one that we went to in the London, you didn't go because you were lazy.
The Northern Guitar Show. But it's not called, they can't call it the Northern. So the company is called the Northern Guitar Show. But then they started trying to do guitar shows in the South.
Oh, no, that's the Kempton Guitar Show. That's
that
the
one.
London International Guitar
Show. Oh, yes, yes.
The one that Matty and I went to in London.
I love it. It's called the London International Guitar Show. And yeah. It basically, it's 5 shows. Most of them are in like a really small sort of area of Yorkshire. And then there.
Well, no, it's just the one London one, the London International Guitar Show.
Yeah, so Northern Guitar. Northern
That's
guitar
not
shows
London International.
Runs London International.
Oh, they do.
But
yeah.
You're thinking of the London Guitar Show. We're going to a show called The Guitar Show.
Which can't people just come up with a better name? This is confusing.
I mean,
go on in. Go on in.
I could turn up in the
wrong
place.
Go on in. Better name for a guitar show.
The Guitar Extravaganza.
Gitcon.
Guitarageddon.
Nam 2.
The Namening.
Nam Harder.
But
a good day to Nam Harder.
That's a perfect name. A good day
Nam
to
Nam 2.
Nam, but with a silent G. Guitar.
Nam with a vengeance.
What do you reckon if we just did that? We just registered the trademark Nam 2. We started up a show.
Anyway, we are going to go to the Guitar Show 2019 up in Birmingham, which is going to be great fun because it's happening on the week that there are no trains in the United Kingdom. So we've got to somehow work out how to get a bus.
And
to...
I'm busy and everyone's annoyed at me that I'm not driving.
We're not annoyed at you. You're allowed to be busy, Jay. It's totally fine. Anyway, we're there are actually loads of brands. It looks, well, they as they say, it's going to be bigger than ever. But there are a ton of cool brands there that we're going to have a butcher's. What are you most looking forward to see there, Mark Packham?
I'm most excited to buy the domain name nam2.co.uk.
the number two or the word two.
Yeah, it's just two. Anyway, who am I most excited to see? I've not looked through this list yet, if I'm honest, but Maris are going to be there, which will be good. Old Blood Noise Endeavours looks good.
Honey Boy Amps are going to be there again. I'm actually really looking forward to seeing Fidelity Guitars. Their Fidelity Guitars are going to have their new bass.
Never heard of them.
So I'm really looking forward to seeing the bass. And what did they call the three pickup guitar? Was it the Star Rosa, the Stella Rosa? I can't remember. One of those two names, but it's an awesome guitar. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that. I think that's going to be a load of fun.
We should check out Pigtronics and Supro. So I was in a guitar store in Germany last week and they had a bunch of Supro stuff and they had the new Blues King and it looked awesome.
The Blues King. Yeah. It looks, I love amps when they don't have like a mesh front, when they've got those weird sort of ported holes at the front. It just looks so cool and like retro and surfy. Yeah, and the Blues King, when I tried it, it sounds fantastic. It looks amazing. I hope they've got that Keeley Supro hybrid amp there as well, because I thought it was absolutely amazing when I played it. Like, one of the best sounding clean amps I've ever heard.
I want to try that Supro delay, because the demos of that made that sound really good.
Yes, yeah. And another company that we saw, we saw them last year, but we kind of didn't know who they were and bumped into them towards the end. This year, I've sort of reached out so that we can have a bit of a proper chat with them and really see the guitars a bit more properly. Maybach.
Yes, that'd be really good.
Yeah, which would be great. They're back. I wonder if they're going to have some more stuff, because they had their SG Junior, but they didn't have any of their Les Paul Juniors with them at the last show. I really hope they have some of those, because I thought the quality on like the sort of light relicking, the lacquer checking, and everything on the Maybach stuff was really really phenomenal. So I'd be happy to see those. I kind of want to see these new Peterson tuners.
That's the most boring thing that you've picked.
Yeah. Is it? No, they're cool.
An incredibly accurate tuner.
Yeah.
That's the thing that you're most excited
about. No, I think it's going to be
this
fun.
This is the sort of thing that you have a go at me for being excited about. How can you say, oh, you like a power supply, and then be excited about a tuner? If I'd said, oh, man, you've got to check out these new...
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tuners, you'd have said,
yes,
like that's what you would have said.
You're probably right. But they are exactly cool. They're incredibly accurate and very bright lights. I think that's important on a tuner. I'm looking forward to seeing Monty's guitars as well. They're going to be back again. We keep saying year after year that we're going to actually go up there and wind some pickups.
We should definitely still do that.
Yeah, now that I kind of do this, I think we actually will. And someone that I'm quite looking forward to seeing, Taurus Amplification. Do you remember they introduced a pedal board amplifier, which is a concept that I'm really into at the moment.
Like the milkman.
Yeah. Like the milkman, yeah. Tourists do one of those, so I'd be really interested to see that.
I'll tell you who I think you should go and see if you get the chance is James's Home of Tone.
We are actually hooking up with James.
Oh, you are?
I spoke to James himself. We're going to have a little bit of a chat about some stuff together. But yeah, because his shop, like, listener, if you have not checked out James's Home of Tone, what is it? Is it .com or .co.uk?
.co.uk. It's just homeoftone.co.uk.
It's probably the best looking guitar website that you can go onto. It's very lovely. I love that he does like proper good quality photos of all the gear, and he distributes brands that I know American listener. I know you guys have this on your doorstep, but we don't, so we were quite excited by it. They do millimetric guitars.
That's the big thing for me.
That's cool.
I'm really disappointed that I can't see the millimetric stuff up close, because they look amazing.
So listeners, if you're not aware of millimetric guitars, they are kind of the they are the IKEA of guitars, but not in a, I mean that it looks, they like very high quality. It's got that minimal sort of Scandinavian look to them. Would you consider that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's got that kind of, it does have like a minimalist
approach lines,
to building guitars, yeah. And they look like nothing else on the planet.
Yeah,
they look like futurist guitars.
Yeah,
one brand that is there is Kanji Guitars, who I hadn't heard of before.
I've spoken to them as well.
Inspired by Japan, handmade in the UK, they do a guitar that's got the battery pack on the front of the guitar, like on the face of the guitar. So obviously active pickups with a battery compartment on the front, which looks very odd. So
I wonder if that's to minimise the amount of wood that is cut out of the back of the guitar.
But why would you do that? That's very odd. It'd be interesting to see their stuff and see see what they've got.
Yeah, that'd be cool. And James's Home of Tone also distribute Jennings guitars.
They do, yes.
Which is very cool. Of course, all our American sort of podcaster, YouTubey friends have recently all bought into Jennings or... Not necessarily
what,
they've recently.
They've bought into them.
Well, they've all got Jennings, haven't they? What's his name?
You keep saying words.
Sean.
Sean.
Help me out. Sean, the YouTube guy.
Pierce Johnson.
Thank you. He has one. And and Ryan has one. And
I think Blake just got one, didn't
Blake's
he?
Got one as well. Yeah. So everyone's got a Jennings. And... yeah, it's good that we can get those. Those are super cool guitars. Shergold are going to have a big announcement.
Yep, and a brand new model apparently, but launched at this show. So yeah,
don't say too much. I don't know how much of that press release is.
Well, there's a new guitar.
Yeah, fine.
At this show.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, good. We can say that.
Can
Rift,
we?
Rift, yeah, why not? Who cares? I don't care.
ground control. Ground Control Audio are there, so they'll have their new booster.
Oh yeah,
that we talked about on the podcast a few weeks ago. Their kind of partner one to the Amaterasu.
Yeah, that would be cool.
So show report after the show, I think, when we catch up with all these people. I think that's the best way to do this. Otherwise, we're just literally reading off brands.
Stag are going to be there.
Stag are going to be there.
See my old boys at Stag.
That's right.
See what they're up to.
Yeah.
And Mark's working the booth.
Matt Knight's going to be there, aren't you?
I'll be there. I'll be demoing all weekend.
What on earth are you demoing? Boss haven't even released any new products.
I will have the only.
We're talking about gears. Tube expander, greatest pedal, greatest product of all time, best product we've ever made.
Yeah, exactly.
Is that
I will
is
have
that
the
right,
tube
Matt? Is that
expander.
The
oh, is that the thing that's not as good as the Oxbox? I can't remember.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, baby.
Unbelievable.
It'll be the only time. The public will probably get to see it until it comes out later in the year. So,
do you know what?
If you want to see it,
come to the booth.
Do you know what? I'm just on the Stag website right now. It's obviously it's my homepage. So, Stag actually have got some really really cool guitars.
Well, if I don't know if you were paying attention,
this isn't a plug. I don't work there anymore.
I got served a. A sponsored post on Instagram from Stag of a really cool looking guitar, and I sent it into the group.
What are you doing?
I'm being serious.
You're delegitimizing.
No, honestly, this looks... I mean, I can't speak for how this plays, but this is the Silver Ray series DC model, which is a kind of oversized Les Paul Jr. With a P90 in the neck, humbucker in the bridge, stop tail piece, block inlays. It looks really good, and it's probably cost about £5. And, yeah, they do other ones that kind of look like the... Music Man Armada, which I think is the one that you were talking about, Jay.
I'm just trying to find
which again is the Silver Ray series. So it looks like basically they've got a line of guitars that are a bit more expensive than their normal ones called Silver Ray that all look really good. Maybe we should give Stag another go.
Well, they're going to be at the Birmingham Guitar Show, so I'm sure whilst, you know, I'm having a break, you can go over and have a chat. So this week, we've also received a few more bits and bobs. One thing that hasn't quite turned up yet, but I thought we should talk about nonetheless, is Rombo picks.
Okay.
I love picks.
Well, these are really cool. Surely, so Rombo picks were a Kickstarter. They have exceeded their Kickstarter amount by, I don't know, maybe... more than 100%.
Okay.
Like, that over
that's
the 100%.
Literally the definition of exceeding the target. So.
No, he means they've at least doubled it.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. And they are fantastic looking plectrum. So they're sending us a little pack of the various tarts. Rombo, but
it's fun to say as well.
Yes, Rombo. Yeah.
Rombo. Yes, they are German plectrums. It's not just different thicknesses, they do different types, and there's different types of technology designed in the grip and the points depending on
oh, that was nice. Say it again.
The grip and the points.
Oh, very nice cadence.
Thank you. Depending on what grip the plectrum's
and
for.
Point.
But they do like the Rombo Classic, which is a 0.45.
Can you call a pick a classic if you've never released it?
That was exactly what I was thinking.
Is it not that it's based on a classic? It's pick.
Well, yes, they're calling this the perfect choice for strumming. I really love in the assets pack they sent us. They rate everything on. They give you a little fader bar for attack, flexibility, tone, and technique. The technique one varies from strumming to note control, and then tone is warm to bright. Flexibility is rigid to flexible, and attack obviously softer to hard. But they rate all of them, and crucially, not only is the tip different on every plectrum and the thickness, but also the type of grip changes. So you've kind of got a sort of a thatch setup on the Rombo Classic. They do the Rombo Diamond, which has a little hole in the grip. It's a 2mm thick one. It's supposed to be like really great for technique and really bright. Obviously, it's a very thick plectrum. And it's kind of, it's called the diamond because it looks like there's some shaping in the grip area that sort of takes on a diamond shape.
I want one. I really want to try the Rombo Diamond. I want to see if it's better than my chicken pick.
Yeah, it looks like it could be a real strong competitor. There's the Rombo Origami as well. Which is like
the only thing is they don't make one as thick as I'm used to.
Because your chicken pick is like 5mm or something, isn't it?
It's 3.5.
You have to hold it with two hands.
Yeah.
Someone else has to hold it while you hold the guitar.
Yeah, you move the guitar up and down while someone else plays it.
Exactly. Right.
You have to just put it in like a vice. What you do is get a Black & Decker Workmate. You put the pick in that and then you just move your guitar up and down like that, face down on the Workmate.
Thing is, what I like about this is rather than a lot of picks that I've seen recently, which have been like, we're making it out of this material and they cost £20, they're actually like put some thought into the design, actually done some research rather than being like, we're going to make this like plexiglass pick and we're going to charge loads of money and you can have them engraved. This one's like, we're actually trying to do something different, which is kind of, that's what I went to the chicken picks for, because they were like, you know, someone was like, they actually put some time and effort and research into it.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to actually try it. I think it'd be quite interesting.
They do also do a super cool range of colours as well. You can get it in graphite, black, water blue, strawberry red, or honey yellow. And all of the plectrum types are available in all the colours. But I'm looking forward to receiving these. They look really cool. They look like fun, edible sweets as well, which I'm, quite excited
Good.
By.
Good. I'm sure that's exactly what all of the parents listening to this podcast want to hear.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, anyway, we should dive into some news. But before we do, I wanted to talk about one
more. What were we talking about, if not news?
But those were just like things that we got. Like,
oh right, this is just
that
this
was the first bit.
This is just
the intro.
Look at all the cool stuff we've got. Yeah. Look at our mash.
Yeah, but this is still the intro. We're not even into the proper part of the podcast.
We haven't
yet.
Started yet. We'll start in a minute.
Yeah, we'll start in a minute.
Do we have to? Can we not just carry on doing
this
bit?
45 minutes in.
I like this bit the best. I don't like the news.
No, forget the news. We probably won't even tell you about new stuff. Anyway, we also received a pedal from One Control. This week, and I really like One Control because I like things that look smart and minimal and cool.
Oh yeah, what's Juan sent us?
How many controls has it got on it?
We both went for two different jokes there. That was really good, that's great.
Stereo. Anyway, so they do One Control do a series of effects called the BFJ series. And they are all mini pedals. There's a massive amount in the range. They're all this sort of brushed aluminium finish with just like simple text on them. Great colors. Great, like really well built. Look fantastic. And they sent us the Blue 360, which is a bass preamp modeled on the acoustic 360.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, and it's absolutely fantastic. Like completely sublime. Like the
I reckon that'd be good on guitar.
It does sound great on guitar. Actually, I tried it out there, but honestly, the increased depth and clarity to you know, it's just that the acoustic 360s were transistor amps in a time of sort of valve amp-ness, and of course they were, you know, popularized massively and played by some of the, you know, the most important legendary bass players. Of ever. But I thought it was absolutely fantastic. Like a dead simple preamp. Nice that it's a mini pedal size, because you get things like the Sans Amp Bass VT and they're kind of a relative amount of pedal real estate.
Yeah.
Whereas this is a mini pedal, just a simple 3-band EQ and a master volume for the pedal. But honestly, like, just the depth of tone, everything it brought is... I thought it was great.
I like it because Frank Zappa used one in his rig for like a lot of the effects
because of
the headroom that it had. But it's worth noting this whole series is designed by the same guy that does Mad Professor.
Okay.
That's interesting.
That makes sense.
Bjorn Juul.
So we're speaking to the distributor.
And they put us in touch with Bjorn directly.
Yeah. But at Summer NAMM, that's how we found out, because we were talking to the distributor in Canada, and Jay and me were talking to him, and he said, oh, all of the small ones are designed by the same guy that does Mad Professor. So you're getting that same sort of quality. I think you're just getting a smaller sort of enclosure. But they're wicked, and they do look great, I think.
Yeah, they look absolutely fantastic.
I tell you what's really interesting is these are kind of Moore. They look like the Moore housings, but they will take a battery.
Yeah, I
know. Which is really interesting, because most pedals that small are that small because they've sacrificed the ability to use a battery.
Yeah.
But these have not, which is really interesting. So,
yeah, they.
I wonder if that's the same for the whole series.
Yeah, possibly. I really want to try some of the others now.
Oh, and it's 9 in and 18 out, so there's obviously some.
Well, you can. That's selectable.
Selectable.
You can select your headroom.
Oh, so it'll be 18 if you use an 18 volt power supply.
I guess so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's a little switch on it.
But yeah, not necessarily. Actually, you can.
It can switch it up, ramp it up.
Yeah, give yourself that extra headroom. But yeah, it's super cool.
Jay, they also make an incredibly tiny power supply.
Oh, I tell you what.
It's the same size as a Moore pedal, and it has...
I love power supply. Not a lot of people know this about me.
9-volt outputs.
I think too many people know that about you now, if I'm honest.
Right, we should definitely dive headfirst into some news, because it's quite late in the podcast.
Yes.
It's the news. News. So, Matt Knight, first up, not a new release, but an old release being sold.
Sold. They call it a re-release.
Ah. Tell us about it, Matt Knight.
So, Mr. Bill Finnegan, The man who invented the Klon way back in 1994, well, finished in 1994, basically has decided to re-release some Klons back into the market, and he's going to hand make them and then sell them direct, basically. Now, he has actually done this in the past, and I do remember, and I'm surprised no one brought this up in some comments I read and stuff. There was another article with him. It was an interview, and he actually... You know, he doesn't like the fact that they go for like ridiculous amounts of money. And that's why he put the kind of that piece of copy on the front of the KTR. So, you know, this ridiculous hype is not of my making. But it turns out that he's actually been hand building extra Klons post the end of the original run to sell them to help out a friend who, you know, she's like got money troubles and stuff. And he's been doing that and selling them as obviously Klons, but then they're going for like $2,000 and he's donating all the money.
Oh, what?
But
okay.
I think now he's decided to basically say and actually announce he's going to do a run of Klons, and they're going to be super, you know, hard to get hold of because he's just going to do one at a time. There's loads that go into them. And basically the last one that he did, he starts them off at like $100.
Oh, and no, it's bidding.
and it's bidding. So
I love
the starting bid for the last
pick a price.
So he started at 100, and 27 bids later it went for $2,026. But the thing is, what you've got to remember is every Klon is built by Bill Finnegan. He's
sure,
never had anyone
sure.
help him. Every single, if you buy an old one, you know, from 1994, the production, sorry, that it started in 1994, ended a few years ago. Any one of those ones you buy will be built by Bill Finnegan. Now, he says that, or people claim that different ones sound different, and there's a gold one and a silver one and a logo and a non-logo. And I think he's just doing now the silver ones, selling them direct, starting them at $100, and there you go. But they also make, obviously, the KTR, which is, as he puts it, an exact replica of the original Klon, is, you know, basically his design bought into. But he hates the fact that people have made loads of money off that design, and those pedals sell for tons of cash.
I mean,
I guess.
What,
now, it's
what
just
made,
got, now,
what major brand sorry. Doesn't do a Klon clone?
Well, and this is the thing,
pretty
I think
much,
because
pretty much just Fender and Boss.
Gibson,
I think
Gibson don't.
Yeah, I think at the time, basically, that's why he, like,
Yamaha?
You know, gooped the circuit boards.
Okay.
So people couldn't see what was inside. Because at the time, he was making them, you know, again, in small runs. They were $300, I think, at the time, which was a lot of money in the mid-90s. And then someone actually managed to pull all the stuff off and then reverse engineer the circuit and sell them for $100. And that's obviously... You know, people are like, oh, well, he must be making loads of money. It's like, I'm sure he makes zero money off all of the secondhand sales.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
of
no,
Klons,
I mean,
but yeah. So,
I mean, who can blame him for doing this? And right. I think it's a good thing because,
absolutely.
You know, people want to buy these products, so make them available. You know, yeah. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, and loads of people are like, oh, he's just, you know, he's taking advantage of the market and it's ridiculous.
No.
It's like, he's starting at $100. If no one bids for it, you could get one for $100.
Yeah.
If I could, I would lock him in a room and force him to just make them. So that then we could all have a Klon Centaur. If anything, it's selfish of
or
him
you would
to not
keep
do
them
that.
All and then just hoard them.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe.
Like speed VHSs.
it's good. I think it's nice that they're, you know, he's just gonna add more to the market. I mean, there's only 3,888 out there. Take your pick.
Amazing. Mark Packham,
hello.
Tell me about a loaf.
A loaf
of Catlin bread.
Very good. Very, very good. Brand new pedal from Catlin bread.
Listen, I think I've had enough of this podcast. I'm not sure I can do this anymore.
The Coriolis, I guess is how we're pronouncing it. The Coriolis effect. And this is a wah filter, harmonizer, pitch shifter, and sustainer. Basically, It's a box that does a ton of stuff to seriously scramble your guitar signal. Three controls on there: position, velocity, and acceleration.
For something as crazy as this, that doesn't sound like a lot of control over the crazy.
Yeah, there's also a switch on there, so you've got acceleration or velocity or an expression pedal in. The position control is the parameter that controls the dry wet mix with the full wet on clockwise and full dry on counterclockwise. So that's your dry mix. Acceleration is this parameter is a two-pole low-pass filter, and velocity. Adjust the pitch of the wet signal. So
right.
I'm guessing it's going to be doing.
And it has a second foot switch, which is hold.
Yeah, so it's got like a sample hold function on it as well.
Ooh.
So basically just really messes with your guitar sound, as you'd expect from Catlin Bread. Something very different. Looks great. I think it's not going to be a transparent overdrive to add to your rig or an always on pedal. It's going to be definitely an effect pedal. $229.
I think that's a very reasonable price for something totally crazy.
Matt's going to leave it on his rig the entire time.
Yeah, why not?
In physics, the Coriolis force is an inertial or fictitious force that seems to act on objects that are in motion within a frame of reference that rotates with respect to an inertial frame.
Right. See,
so basically, another description, that's the Coriolis force. The Wikipedia definition of the Coriolis effect is, in psychophysical perception, the Coriolis effect is the misperception of body orientation and induced nausea due to the Coriolis force. The Coriolis effect is a concern for pilots where it can cause extreme disorientation. So basically what it means
just feeling a bit dizzy.
Well, you're watching something spin right. in a different direction to where you're moving whilst everything's in the same frame of reference.
Or it will sound like a wah filter harmonizer, pitch shifter and sustainer all on at once.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, presumably if you have that all on and you're spinning around in a circle, you're going to feel
the
disorientation.
Effect.
See, I thought that it was Coriolis, like the Coriolis were a mafia gang.
Don Coriolis.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was, but evidently not. Jay Cross, we don't have much time, but there is a super cool new Princeton amplifier hitting the shelves, a signature model.
Yes, so Chris Stapleton, who is a guitarist that I don't think... He's a guitarist, yeah. There we go, thanks very much. he's a guitarist that I don't think is particularly well known over here, but... From what I've heard from my colleagues in the Americas, he is absolutely huge in the kind of country scene.
He's just really, he's a really big fella.
I was talking about his popularity.
Right.
But, you know, I mean. So anyway, the...
that's how we have to respond to
the,
Joe.
Just
a sigh.
Yeah. So this is a 62 reissue. So interesting in the it's pre-reverb because of course Princeton reverbs didn't come out until
1964.
Correct. There we go. Wow, you really are a guitar nerd.
Thanks, mate.
There's no reverb in this. Just a tremolo. So real classic output tube based. Trem, and it's also a 12-inch speaker, which is really nice. So that that is something that we've been talking about for a long time. I've got a 12-inch Princeton sat right next to me, just
you
there.
Have. It's lovely.
It is lovely.
What finish is this new signature model?
So it's in brown with wheat. Wheat with a wheat guard. So it's very much of that classic brown face era. It sounds absolutely astonishing. When I first saw this, I was like, oh, I'm not really that interested in this, to be honest with you, because it doesn't have a reverb, and that's the thing that's really cool about these amps. But it sounds amazing. It sounds really amazing. It's got Schumacher transformers, which I'm told is something that's quite exciting.
Okay.
That makes a big difference.
Matt's making the sort of noise that I would hope someone would make.
It's got Michael Schumacher transformers.
Oh, no, that Ralph.
Transformers make a massive difference to the overall sound of the amp. Like, I really want to try this. I think it's super cool. And I know it doesn't have reverb, but then you just, you know, go and get a 63 Fender Spring Reverb tank.
Totally, totally. Although those are discontinued. But, you know, I'm sure you can get one on...
The new Anasounds ones.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But yeah, essentially what this is it's a hand-wired 62 amp. Cool. It sounds really, really good. The tremolo on it is amazing. It really is.
Price?
$2,000 or something. I'm not sure, to be honest with you.
Not enough, in my opinion.
Not enough, yeah. $4,000 to you, Matt, if you want one.
Hey. I make it more expensive.
I'll do you a deal. $4,000. Give me one. Oh, there it is. It's right on the front page because, you know, $2,000 indeed. Yeah, $1,999.
Dollars.
Pounds.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well.
Cool.
You're right, Joe.
Yes. You broke there.
Yeah, sorry. It was the worst segue I've ever done. Well, anyway, that is it for us here on the regular episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast. We're going to be continuing over on the Patreon. And
is this the first time we've been all together this year?
No, we've been together before this year.
Have
a
we?
Couple of weeks ago.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, we were all together.
Did we do one in between? Oh, yeah, we did. We did one after Matt got back from America.
Yeah. And then, yeah.
And then and I then, went away and Matt
and
was
Matt
away.
Matt went away. So that was the Mark and Joe show. And now we're back again. But this will also, we're going to do a Patreon episode now. And then we're going to go over and do the Hall of Fame podcast. And this week, it's Jay Cross's turn to submit.
Wait, I thought it was your turn.
Something. No, no, no. We already did me. I got the Matt Freeman P-Bass into the Hall of Fame.
He did. Oh, I was going to do the Matt Freeman P-Bass.
Wait, last week when it was just the two of you?
Yeah.
That's really unfair.
Why?
I mean, I definitely would have agreed, but still.
Yeah, well, there you go then. I only had to convince Mark. See, it was a good idea.
And by the time you got round to doing that, he was so bored of you, he was just willing to just accept anything to get rid of you.
Please get out of my house.
Where did you do it? You do it at your house.
Yeah, we did it at his house. Yeah, it was fine. It was fine. I didn't get allergic to
the cats on the other side of the door and I need to see them.
No, we just let the cats in.
Oh, okay. Yeah, who let the cats in? Meow,
they
meow,
were part
meow,
of the
meow,
podcast.
Meow.
It was all good.
Anyway, right, okay, we're going to be continuing over on the Patreon episode of the Guitar Nerds podcast, where from as little as $1 a month, you can support the podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode, ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you the Patreon episode, plus loads of extra mini-series and things like the Hall of Fame. And $10 a month makes you an executive producer and gets your name read out by me.
In one breath.
Well, I sort of stopped saying that because I'm waiting for you guys to
I thought you were doing the wrestling one.
I want to do the wrestling one, but honestly...
Yeah. No, you absolutely should do the wrestling one.
There are 52
in
names.
In one breath.
Just do it all in one breath. Get on with it.
All right, fine. Okay, you ready? I've done a new order.
What do you mean? What, like...
Peter Hook.
Yeah. And the light.
Yeah. Peter Hook and the Light. I've done a new order. Anyway, here we go.
Adam Royce Crisp, Jake Cutmore, Robert Cousins, Rob Gruhl, Scott Hamilton, Tucker Amadon, Ernie Cooper, Ross Edwards, Nate Nagel, Stefan Hens, Rod Grant, Matt Roberts, Dave Lee, Emmy James Baker, Juan Goyer, Aaron Salmon, Blake Wyland, Andrew Goody, Jamie Kemp, Jake Gray, Matt Benamy, Martin Cliff, Scott Kennedy, Christopher Lowsett, Hans Arms, Robin Smith, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Rob Noldry, Duncan Watson, Ed Bentley, Steve Markle, DJ Mark Cross, Michael McGray, Carlos Mansa, Andy McKenzie, Brad Page, Blair Tom, Scott O'Brien, Laurie Anstis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Moo Gravett, Bill Thompson, Adrian Day, Ken Sayers, Matthew King, Stuart Tate, Scott Sending, Sean Obo, Christopher Wolf, and Capitan!
Very good.
I honestly don't know how you do that.
It's a lot of names.
It's like, it is actually very impressive.
I have an excellent lung capacity.
Is it going to be like Friends, though, when Joey's been holding his breath for like 20 minutes and it turns out that Joe's just somehow breathing? Yeah. As soon as you cover his nose, he just passes out.
Maybe we should do that.
Possibly. Anyway.
Joey Branton.
That's it for us. We'll see you next week for some more guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Or the Patreon.
You're ruining the end. Farewell. You've got to say farewell. I'm just going to edit in you guys saying goodbye from another episode. Bye.